I don't think necessarily it's a disappointment, but it's not a season that you'll always look back at and remember. I mean, they had some very, very good wins throughout this season, but also some unusual losses. And I think obviously what stands out with this team is just the lack of offense. It kind of seemed like a lot of times this year watching this team, we kind of morphed it back to watching Konzo Martin-style basketball this year. So I guess Rick Barnes is going to have to address this, at least player-wise, offensively going forward to try to figure this roster out and make sure it's a little bit better offensively. Now, I do know a prospect, a 2024 prospect, Juke Harris, a shooting guard, he's actually going to commit at 5 Eastern today. Tennessee is supposed to be heavily in the mix with that alongside Wake Forest and Kansas, Miami, LSU, and Virginia Tech. So Rick Barnes could easily get back on the recruiting trail pretty quick in this new offseason, as we just saw Tennessee's season end last night.
Dan Harrelson, USA Today, covers Tennessee. All right, you've been at spring practice. First thing, Nico Iamaleava, true freshman, was there for the bowl practices and all of that, probably gets more attention than anybody on the team. Now, you're there, I'm not, so you may refute that. But I was watching an interview with him. He's 6'6". When he first got there, he looked unusually, like basketball skinny. And he's still lean. But they say he's around 210 right now. Could you see that? Could you tell that?
I noticed one thing from the time that he was with the bowl practices or even his high school stature. I believe they listed him an inch shorter a few months back, and now he's an inch taller. So you know how heights and measurements and weight goes. But I think he mentioned that they want him around like 215, 220. By the start of the season, so we'll see if he actually gets there. He's listed 6'6", 205 right now. I think previously he was 6'5", 195 late last year as a high schooler and through bowl practices. So, but yeah, 6'6", 205 right now. He's saying that they need him at 215 by the start of the season, so we'll see if he can actually do that. But throwing the ball in practice, you can just tell it comes off a little bit different compared to even guys like Joe Milton, who's got a strong arm. He's got a little bit of touch on him, so that's good to see. But obviously, he's an early enrollee freshman, so it's going to take some time to get a lot of the just to be synchronized with other people out there throughout the offense and the tempo. That's another thing he mentioned, that just getting used to the tempo, because it is completely different when you're watching as a fan or a recruit or whatnot, compared to actually going through the motions in this offense through practices. So it's still a work in progress. It will be very interesting to see if Josh Heupel does anything with the quarterback roster right after spring practices. We do remember Joe Milton came in right after, a day after the Orange and White game, his first spring here at Tennessee. And then people like Lynn J. Dixon in the backfield coming in right after fall camp starts, even though he didn't remain on roster. It proves, though, Josh Heupel, no matter the time, a day after spring ball, in the middle of fall camp, if he needs to address a roster movement, especially with the quarterback position, he's going to do it no matter when the time is. So it will be interesting. Only two scholarship quarterbacks right now, Joe and Nico. If Josh Heupel feels comfortable with that, or if he addresses something in the transfer portal right after spring practices.
Just while we're on the offense, Cam Seldon, a freshman, they're going to start him at least in the running back room and then maybe transition him as a all-purpose running back receiver, which is a whole lot for a freshman. They've said it's going to take time to develop, but can you see this kid's talent watching him?
Yeah, he's actually, I know obviously Nico is going to get a lot of pub out there just because he's the five-star quarterback or whatever, but Cam Seldon's actually the guy that I've kind of watched quite a bit so far. He's the most intriguing guy in this class coming in as the early guys. Cam Seldon, he's 6'2", 215, played everywhere on the field in high school. And he's going to start. He's listed as a running back. Josh Heupel talked about it this week. We'll start in the backfield and just kind of put him in different positions if they feel like they want to do that. But right now, I guess maybe a little bit more thin. Even though Tennessee lost a couple big guys in the receiving core, but maybe they kind of see him a little bit more time or kind of move him around starting out in the backfield. A lot of plays where you could see him moving from the backfield to start a pre-snap play and kind of put him in the slot and things like that, because he can play receiver, he can run the ball, he's pretty good size.
Of the transfer portal players, do any of them stand out so far? I know it's real early, but any of them jump out at you?
Well, Thornton is really the only one that really stands out this early. He's 6'5", 205. He's going to be a pretty good addition to this offense, it seems like. But, yeah, 6'5", 205 from Oregon. He has a lot of speed, too, especially with the height there, and he's not – that skinny, so it's going to be very interesting to see what he can do in this offense with Josh Heupel.
Question on Twitter, will any of the, and I think they have, what, 2-3, and they got a JUCO coming in, too, in there, offensive linemen, will any of those win one of the openings on that unit?
Maybe John Campbell, the transfer from Miami. He's definitely a tackle. The question is, does Tennessee kind of see him at left or right? He did get some work in at left tackle this past week, but obviously they'll probably move him around and see what kind of works. But, yeah, Gerald Mincy, you got Carrick. I think he's the Texas transfer at guard, and Cooper Mays is back at center. And then, of course, Spraggins, the other guard there. So it's just a question – really, if Campbell is going to be at right or if you keep Mincy at left. So they're still trying to figure that out in the spring.
Talking Tennessee here, Dan Harrelson, USA Today covers them. Been on that beat for years now. As far as getting better on defense, and they've got the Carter kid coming in there from Smyrna, another one of the Herring brothers from Murfreesboro's there. Do either of those have a chance to get in the rotation?
Yeah, I think so. Arian Carter actually picked off Nico from what we got to see a little bit this week in practice. Really wasn't that bad of a throw from Nico. Arian Carter just made a play. He already looks like a college-type athlete. Him and Herring look pretty good. But I'm very, very excited on that side of the ball to keep an eye on Arian Carter going forward in spring practices, especially as the early guy. But you're right, mid-state guy, mid-state talent. I guess actually both of them. So it's kind of neat to see those two guys take part in spring ball. But Arian Carter definitely stands out to me right now.
You were saying maybe the last time we had you on, yeah, they elevated a new offensive coordinator. But you were saying, look, Heupel's the one that's going to be calling the plays, correct?
That's the word on it. Honestly, there's a lot of talk out there who actually called plays, Heupel or Alex Golis. I spoke with Alex a few weeks back as they were beginning to do spring ball, because we still keep up with what he's doing there just because he's part of the Josh Heupel tree or whatnot. And he said he called plays last year, because I asked him, is the offense going to look pretty similar to UT last couple of years at USF. He said, yeah, I mean, we'll do our little tweaks here and there just for personnel-wise, but, yeah, it's going to be tempo and all that good stuff, and he's going to call plays this first year and kind of look at it after that to see if he wants to let anybody else call plays on his own staff. But he mentioned he called plays last year, so I thought that was kind of neat. Obviously, I'm sure Josh Heupel has veto power and called some of those plays out there, but I did find that kind of interesting with Alex Golis saying he called the plays last year. So I would assume maybe it's a similar situation. Josh Heupel talked about Coach Halsley this week, been with him, I guess, 15 or so years and just very comfortable with him. So if Golish is calling plays the last couple of years, I would assume Halsley would have that role under a guy like Josh Heupel also this year.
Question on Twitter, does Scroll White continue to look good?
Yes, he does. He's going to be a factor once again in the slot there. The way they spread things out, you can have two different slots with Squirrel on one side and Thornton on the other. So it's, I think they've actually probably gotten a little bit quicker with the wide receiver core. It's just you need a little bit more experience losing guys like Tillman and Hyatt. But I think Nathan Laycock, another freshman that's already on campus going through spring practices, he's a big-time recruit, also from Virginia. He's looked pretty good, especially at the X wide receiver position so far during spring.
Once we get through, and you've touched on the transfer portal a little bit, May 1 through the 15th is open season again. Other than maybe considering quarterback just due to depth concerns, anything else they would hunt for?
Maybe tight end. I don't know. Obviously, Jacob Warren's back. Ethan Davis looks really good as a early enrollee freshman. Of course, he got hurt early in the season last year of his senior year of high school. So he's still a little bit banged up trying to get through that. But he looks really good. He'll eventually, maybe not the first part of this year, but maybe as the fall season goes on, that he can do something. But eventually he's going to be a key part, it looks, because he's already got the build for a college tight end. But you just don't know how McCollin Castles, the transfer from UC Davis, will actually pan out. You got Hunter Salmon right behind him. I just don't know if the tight end position right now is deep enough, but it will be interesting to see if Josh Heupel would address that position right after the orange and white game.
Baseball team got swept at Missouri, and frankly, none of those games were close. None of those games were in jeopardy for Missouri to lose. Obviously, a lot of players to replace, but is that a surprising early development for this team?
Yeah, a little bit. They have to win at least two games, in my opinion, against Texas A&M. Starting today for the three-game series, that's a huge series. A&M, obviously well-coached, has some talent. They did beat LSU in that third game last weekend, so they're a pretty good team coming in. But Tony, in Tennessee, they got to figure this thing out. They got to figure out the outfield. It doesn't even seem like Griffin Merritt's a solid right fielder now because they've moved him to left field a little bit. So I just think you have guys there. You have some young guys like Dylan Dreiling, who's increased his playing time a little bit more, but now you see guys like Christian Scott getting in the mix this past week. They just got to figure it out. I mean, Cabarrus Tears is another one who's got a pretty good bat. They kind of sprinkled him at right field when they moved Griffin Merritt to left. So they got to figure that out. And this past week against Western Carolina, they did bounce back and beat them. But Tony benched everybody except for Blake Burke. And so obviously he's sending a message there. They got to figure this thing out. I think the pitching staff, we all know that they're pretty good. They're talented, returning with the three weekend starters. But Dolander's got to figure it out too. I don't know. I wouldn't say overconfident, but he does mention a lot of the media availabilities that he's always talking about his confidence. So it kind of maybe a little bit alarming there because when you are confident, you usually don't talk about it. So I don't know if it's kind of something in his head right now, but he hasn't looked that great this year. But him and guys like Chase Burns, even though it hasn't looked that great this year, they're still piling on the stats for strikeouts. They're still able to get guys out that way. But maybe it's just run support. I don't know. But they definitely need to get things going because, as we all know, in the SEC, it's week after week, and next week's at LSU, then you got Arkansas coming up, Vandy, Florida. It doesn't get any easier after this.
Dan, appreciate the time.
All right, thank you.
Dan Harrelson, USA Today does a very good job covering Tennessee.